Today's daf is Chulin daf Kuf Chav Ches. We left off daf Kuf Chav Zainam and Beis. So there was a Mishnah that went over from Kuf Chav Zainam Rav to Kuf Chav Zainam Beis that had a line that, well, the whole Mishnah discussed the case where there's an Aver or Basar Hamidul Dalin that's dangling from an animal. So we said that it's Metame Tumas Ochlin B'Mekoman, that it's already, it can become Tame from Tumas Ochlin. It's already considered an Ochel, even though it's still connected to the animal and it needs Hechsher just like any other Ochlin would need Hechsher. But once the animal, if the animal that had that dangling limb was then shechted, so there's a machlokas from Meir and Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Meir holds huchsheru b'dameha, the dam of the shechita already causes that hechsher to take place, so therefore the aver is considered to be huchsher l'kabel tuma. Rabbi Shimon says lo huchsheru, it's not considered to be huchsher l'kabel tuma yet at that point. So that is the machlokas from Meir and Rabbi Shimon. So now the Gemara is going to have six different explanations of exactly what Rav Meir and Rabbi Shimon are arguing about. That takes up Amud Aleph. It's a very, very easy daf to split into different sugyas. So first is the first sugya is six different explanations of what exactly is the Nekudas HaMachlokas between Rav Meir and Rabbi Shimon. So if we take a look, we're picking up from the two dots on Kuf Chav Zayinam Beis, about 10 lines before the end of the page, Nishchita HaBehema. So it says, B'maika Miflgi, what are they arguing about? So explanation number one, Amar Rabba B'Behema Nasis Yad Ever kamiflagi marsaver ein behema nasis yada ever marsaver behema nasis yada ever. They're arguing whether the behema could have a din of a yad to the ever, for the ever that's connected to it, that's dangling from it. So one opinion holds that a behema can have a din of a yad, and the other one holds that a behema will not have a din of a yad to the ever that's dangling from it. So if you look at Rashi, Amar Rabba behema nasis yada ever kamiflagi, five lines from the bottom, vitravayu isluhu Yesh Yad Lehechsher. They're both apparently assuming that Yad works not only to be Matami something, but also to be Machshir LeKabel Tuma. That if liquid hits a Yad, then the whole Ochel becomes Huchshir LeKabel Tuma. That they're both agreeing about. Umi Rabbi Shimon Savar Ein Behema Kula Nasis Yad LeEver Echad. The entire animal can't be considered a Yad for a single Ever of the animal. Hilkach Lohi Vialo Hechsher. Therefore, even though the Dam of the Shechit may have hit the animal, but it's still not going to cause the dangling limb to be huchshel kabel tuma because it didn't hit that limb. So the dam of the shechita is not going to be machshir that limb. It only hit the rest of the animal. The rest of the animal can't be considered a yad for that limb. Rameir says it will become muchshir because the behema does become a yad for the aver. So that's explanation number one. Explanation number two of the machlokas. Abayi yamar ba'oches b'katan ve'in gadol ole imo kamiflgi. They're arguing about where a connection between the dangling basar and the animal is so tenuous, such a weak connection that if you grab the smaller part, the larger part will not be lifted up with it. It will just snap right off. So marsav ve'oches b'katan ve'in gadol Ein gadol ola imo hareu kamahu. One opinion says that even when the smaller part would snap right off, it's still hareu kamahu. It's still part of. It's still considered one unit. Umar savareno kamahu. And the other one says that it's not considered one unit. Obviously, if it's considered one unit, when blood hits part of it, the whole thing is considered to be huchshar. But if it's not considered one unit, then it wouldn't be considered to be huchshar. So that's the machloka. So it would turn out that Rabbi Meir, who holds that it's huchshru b'dameha, would say that it's all considered one unit, even if you were to pick up the, even in a situation where picking up the smaller part would just snap it right off, and Rabbi Shimon holds that it's not a huchshar, would hold that that they're considered two separate entities. So va'af Rabbi Yochanan savar bochis b'katan vein gadol ola imo kamiflagi, and Rabbi Yochanan agrees with Abaye's understanding of the machlokas, that the machlokas must be about that if you pick up the smaller part, that ein gadol ola imo, that's what they're arguing about in the Mishnah. Where do we find that Rabbi Yochanan agrees that that's what the machlokas is about? Because Rabbi Yochanan asked the kasha, and based on the way he asked the kasha, it's evident that that's how we must have understood our Mishnah. Rabbi Yochanan asked the stira, the Rameira, the Rameira. he thought he found the stira within Rameir. Mi am Rameir ochiz bekatan vein gadol ole imo harehu kamohu. Where Rabbi Yochanan asked, does Rameir really hold that if you pick up a smaller part, then the larger part will not be ole with it? If you have a situation where the connection is so weak that the smaller part will not drag along the larger part with it, does Rameir really hold harehu kamohu? It's still considered one unit just by that very formulation. If that's in fact how he formulated the kasha, you see very clearly how he understood Rameir in our Mishnah. So he's asking, can Rameir really hold that? Raminahu, but we have a stira. Ochel shenifras umu'urba mixas. Let's say you have ochel, Rashi fills in for us, truma. You have truma food that's broken. It's a little bit, a little piece is broken off of it, but it's still somewhat connected. It's like it's cut most of the way down, but it's still somewhat connected to the larger piece. So Reb Meir Omer, and then you want to figure out its status in terms of tumah. Let's say its volume touches that piece. So what happens to the entire entity? So Reb Meir Omer im ochiz b'katam gadol oli imah. So if it's in a situation, Rameir says, where lifting up the smaller part will schlep along the rest of it as well, so it's connected enough that carrying the smaller part will lift up the larger part, so then it's considered one unit, then it's considered kamo, it's considered like part of the larger piece. But im lav, that's the key, im lav, eno kamo. If it's not that connected, that lifting the smaller part is going to schlep along the larger part with it, then eno kamo, then it does not have a din of that piece. V'amar Rabbi Yochanan says, mukhlefas hashita. What you see over here is that Rameir changed his mind, Rameir changed his shita. Because in our Mishnah, he assumed that it's that when you shech the animal, it is hukshiru b'dameha. Apparently, even though the aver was medoldol, and there's no way that lifting up that aver is going to schlep along the rest of the animal, Rameir still held it was one unit. And over here he holds that it's not considered one unit if the link is so weak. So Rabbi Yochanan says, you see that Rameir changed his shita. If you look at Rashi, mechlefes hashita, kan hichlef Rameir shitaso. Avul bi alma svirilei, ochiz b'katan ve'in gadol olimo hareu kama. Rabbi Yochanan comments that it must be that this is an exception to his general rule, that over here he changed his mind, but normally he would hold that it would still be considered part of the larger unit, meaning normally he would hold like he holds in our Mishnah, but this situation of Tumah by the Truma and its Vulyom touching it is an exception to his Shita. But the Raya is, Rabbi Yochanan Hachi Shema Mina Desfirli Debochiz B'Katav Engad Olimok Miflagi, must be that's the way he understood our Mishnah, and that's all we're trying to prove, that that's the way Rabbi Yochanan must have understood our Mishnah. So, frankly, more on my kushya, Dilma Shani Le Rameir Bein Tvul Yom L'Shar Tumas. How do you know that that's necessarily the case? Maybe Rabbi Meir distinguishes between the Tvul Yom and other Tumos. So, meaning, how do you know? Why was Rabbi Yochanan, just as an aside? Okay, granted, that's how Rabbi Yochanan understood the Machlokes Tanaim. But what convinced Rabbi Yochanan that he has a kasha? Maybe that it's a stira in Rabbi Meir. Maybe Rabbi Meir only holds that there's a different geder of what's considered a connection. Legabe tumah v'tvul yom, and legabe other tumas, and legabe everything our Mishnah is talking about, tumas ochlin. How do you know that it's the same gedarim? So Tanya, Rebbe Omer, echad tvul yom v'echad char tumas, because we have a comment of Rebbe who says that there's no difference between tvul yom and other tumas. Whatever the halacha is going to be by one, the halacha is going to be by the other. So says Gemara, okay, good. So v'dilma Rebbe lo shanilei, l'rameir shanilei. So, okay, you've proven that Rebbe holds that there's no difference. You still haven't proven anything about Rameir. Rameir, why is Rabbi Yochanan asking a stira? Is that a stira? When it comes to certain types of tumah, Rameir would hold that the limb that is very weakly connected is considered connected. When it comes to weaker types of tumah, he'll be mekel and he'll say it's not considered connected. When it comes to tevil yom, he'll be mekel and say it's not considered connected. But that's not a stira. So Rabbi Yoshi, hacham Rabbi Yochanan, l'divrei Rebbe mechlefes hashita. So Rabbi Yoshi says, yeah, what Rabbi Yochanan meant to say is that if Rabbi Meir holds like Rebbe, then it's mechlefes hashita. Meaning the way Rebbe understands that there's no chilek between tumah v'tvul yom and other tumos, then the only way to understand Rabbi Meir is that mechlefes hashita, that at some point he changed his mind, or something went different at some point. So on this idea of mechlefes hashita, the Torah Chaim asks, why does Rashi say over here, and the Rashi Rashi that we read about Mechleves HaShita, that Rav Meir changed his Shita from his Shita in other places. Why don't you just say that the Etzem HaShita of Rav Meir is Mechleves? Meaning, doesn't Mechleves HaShita mean that there is a confusion of who said what? Don't we have that all the time in Shas, where we say that, no, you think Rav Meir said Mutter, Rav Yossi said Aser? No, it's the opposite. It's Rav Yossi said Mutter, Rav Meir said. That's what Mechleves HaShita normally means. Why does Rashi translate Mechleves HaShita completely differently over here? He says Mechleves HaShita doesn't, there's no corruption of the text, there's no confusion of who said what, it just means Rav Meir changed his mind. Why do we veer from what we would normally assume, or what the Gemara's normal style of just saying that that there was some confusion in the text? So that's the kasha of the Toras Chaim. Toras Chaim is mitarets that Rashi has to say that Mechleves HaShita over here means that Rav Meir changed his mind, because in fact we find in Erevin that Rabbi Yochanan also uses that same phrase of Mechleves HaShita, and in the Gemara in Erevin where that phrase comes up inside the Tesam Beis in Erevin, the only way to explain it is in this way, where someone changed their mind rather than saying that there was a corruption in the text. So whenever Rabbi Yochanan uses the phrase Mechleves HaShita, so we see that's what he means, and that he doesn't mean that it was a corruption of the text of the Brisa or anything like that. Okay, says the Gemara now Vayter. So far we had two explanations of why it is that what exactly Rav Meir and Rabbi Shimon are arguing about when the animal is shechted, whether the limb that was dangling becomes hukshar. First explanation was Rabba, whether behemah is nasiyad la'ever or not. Second explanation was Abaye, whether ochiz b'katav nein gadol ola imo is kamahu or not. Now the third explanation, Rava. Rava amar b'yesh yad l'tuma ve'ein yad l'hechshar kamiflugi. Now they're arguing about something even more fundamental. We know that there is a concept of yadus. We've been discussing them for a couple of weeks, but Yad usually appears in the context of Tuma, that if I, to be Machnis and Motzi Tuma, that's what a Yad accomplishes, that if I'm Tame and I touch the Yad, so that will be Metame, the actual item itself, because the Yad serves as the conduit through which the Tuma is transferred. That's true about Tuma. What about Hechsher Lekabel Tuma? What if a liquid touches a Yad? Will that be Machshir, the entire Ochel, to be Mekabel Tuma? So that's the Machlokas. Is Yad a concept only in Tuma, or is it a concept in Hechsher as well? So if you remember, we had a discussion about Hechsher Lekabel Tuma, what the Lamdus of Hechsher Lekabel Tuma is. We've said it over many times already, that is Hechsher Lekabel Tuma to be viewed as the Tchilas HaTuma, the beginning of the Tuma process, that the Hechsher starts the Tumah process, or do we view Hechsher not as the beginning of the Tumah process, but as the Gemar Pri, as the finishing off of the food, that the food isn't considered a Meichel, it's not considered a food, until it goes through Hechsher. We saw that's Machlokas probably between the Ramban and the Sefer HaChinuch, where the Ramban holds that the Hechsher Lekabel Tumah is the Tchilas HaTumah, because he holds it's the liquid serves as the substance that allows Tumah to stick, whereas the Sefer HaChinuch understands that it's the Gemar Pri, that it's the finishing off of the fruit. This might be a nafkamina in that machlokas, whether there's Yad for Hechsher Lekabel Tuma, or there isn't Yad for Hechsher, because Yad, everyone agrees, is really a din in Tuma. Question is Hechsher an extension of Dine Tuma, or is Hechsher just a Metzius in the food? If Hechsher is an extension of Dine Tuma, it's the beginning of the Tuma process, so then you understand very well that there's going to be Yad La Hechsher as well. But if Hechsher has nothing to do with the Tuma process, Hechsher is an independent idea, that it's just the Gemar Pri, so why should there be a din of Yad for Hechsher, for a Gemar Pri? So that might be an Afkamina, that Machlokas, between the Ramban and the Sefer HaChinuch that we've alluded to before. But anyway, Rava says, forget about Ramban Sefer HaChinuch, that is the machlokas between Rav Meir and Rabbi Shimon in our Mishnah, whether there's Yad Lahechsher, Mar Savigesh Al Dutumah Vein Yad Lahechsher, Umar Savigesh Al Dutumah Ula Hechsher, that Rabbi Meir, who holds that the behemoth becomes Huchsher, will hold that there's Yad for Hechsher as well, because over here the Aver itself is not touching any of the liquids. And we're assuming, yeah, the entire behemoth is a Yad for that Aver Hamaduldal, but the blood is only touching the rest of the behemoth, it's not touching that Aver Hamaduldal. So it's definitely going to be a Yad. The question is, does that Yad transfer Hechsher to the item as well, or only Tumah to the item. Okay, explanation number four now of the machlokes from Rabbi Shimon. Rav Papa Amar behechsher kodem machshava kamiflgi. Machlokas in our Mishnah is what happens when the Hechsher L'Kabel Tumah comes before you ever have a Machshava to make it an Ochel. Normally, you would have to have a Machshava. Normally, a Hechsher only works on for Tumas Ochlin, right? You only need Hechsher for Tumas Ochlin. So what makes the item an Ochel? So let's say it's iffy. So certain items are definitely going to be an Ochel. You have an apple that's off of a tree, so it's an Ochel. You don't have to have a Machshava. But over here, we're talking about a piece of an animal. So it's not necessarily an ochel yet. So if you look at Rashi, behechsher kodem machshava kamifli dukuli alma yesh yad lutuma ula hechsher, it must be that everybody's assuming that there is a yad, that yad works for hechsher as well. El sheshachta kodem shachishiv lachil loved kachavim, but you shechted it before you had a machshava that you want to give it to feed to a guy. The kodem hechsher machshava. So the hechsher happened before you ever had a machshava that transformed it into an ochel. So Rabbi Shimon Savar kiven the b'shas hechsher. So Rabbi Shimon will say, well, at the time of the Hechsher, it wasn't yet right to be Mekabel Tuma because it wasn't an Ochel yet. Stam dangling limb off of an animal, we don't assume, is La'achila. Sha'af leben Noach Osirhu. Because even though you may plan on feeding it to a guy, while it's dangling from the animal, it's still Osir for everybody, even for a Ben Noach. So Hechshanami lo Mekabel, therefore it should not have the status of an Ochel, and it shouldn't become Hechsher Mekabel Tuma. So the Tanan, where do we find that there is such a machlokas about hechsher kode machshava, whether when hechsher happens before the machshava happens? Rabbi Yehuda kachay Rabbi Akiva shone. Rabbi Akiva used to always teach as follows: Chelev shchuta bekfarim tsarich machshava ve'in tsarich hechsher shekvar huchshar b'shchita. If you have the chelev of a shechted animal, the fats of a shechted animal, in small villages where people in small villages typically don't eat the chelev of the animal, so it requires machshava in order to give it a shame ochel, but it doesn't require hechsher because it's already become huchsher through the shechita. So what do you see? Rabbi Akiva used to teach that the hechsher happened before the shame ochel came. No one used to eat it, so it didn't have a shame ochel at the time of the shechita. At the time of the shechita is when the hechsher happened. Later on you decide, ah, you know what? Let's eat this fat. Let's eat this chelev. That's when it got the shame ochel, and still that works as a hechsher. So Amarti Lefanov, Rabbi Yehuda says, I said to Rabbi Akiva, some type of herb called ulshin that were picked and then rinsed with the intention to feed it to a behema, and then nimlach alein la'adam, then you change your mind after they already came into contact with liquid, and you change your mind to decide to make them into a food to feed them to people. You taught us, Rabbi Akiva, that it does require a second hechsher, that hechsher before the makshava does not work. And Rabbi Akiva said, you're right, and he changed his mind. And he went back to say like Rabbi Yehuda. So the machlokas in our Mishnah is that Rabbi Meir, who holds that it is huchshar, will hold that hechsher could even happen before makshava like Rabbi Akiva originally thought. And Rabbi Shimon will hold that the Avraham Adudal is not huchshar, will hold like Rabbi Akiva's maskana, that the hechsher cannot happen before the makshava l'shem Ochlin. Now, why is there a difference about chelev between kfarim and krachim? It says that we're very specific. We say chelev of a shechted animal in the kfarim, in the villages. So Rashi gives two pshatim. Chelev, Rashi says, ein darko lochlo b'kfarim neisha amuat v'yesh lem basar arbe. He says, why would you want to eat chelev? You'd only eat chelev if there wasn't enough basar. But in the kfarim, there are very few people. There aren't that many meat eaters. There aren't that many mouths to feed in the kfarim. So when they shecht a big cow, so there's plenty of meat to go around. They don't need to go and start eating the chelev. So it wasn't normal for people in the small villages to eat the chelev. But in large cities, there are lots of people. You try to use every last ounce of that cow, so that the chelev would more often get eaten. That's one pshat. Second pshat, Rashi says, "Inami mshum hachi and darkan lochel b'kfarim mshum daniim heim al bnei krachim shemashir mochel oso." Very interesting. It's almost the exact opposite. That chelev is the fattiest, nicest part of the animal. People in the kfarim can't afford to buy the nice cuts of meat. They can only afford to buy the cheaper cuts of meat. People in the cities are much richer, and they can afford the more expensive cuts of meat. So that's it's the exact opposite in the sense that Rashi in the first pshat assumes that chelev is like you'd only eat it as a last resort. In the second pshat, he assumes that it's the choicest, the choice piece of meat, right? That's the Gemara at the beginning of Pesachim that we've quoted with that story with the guy who wanted to eat from the choicest part of the animal. So he said, "Me'alia mika safula, have you eaten from the tail? What's so geshmak about the tail? Tail is all fat. So maybe the idea is that the chelev is considered the choicest piece of meat, that is considered the better pieces of meat. But anyway, bottom line is, we see that there is such a machlokas, whether Hechsher can precede the Shem Ochel or not. That could be the Machlokes or Meir Rabbi Shimon in our Mishnah. Fifth explanation of the Machlokes or Meir Rabbi Shimon in our Mishnah, Rav Acha b'Rei Rav Ika Amar, b'niskanach Adam b'in Simon l'Simon Kamiflagi. That the Machlokes is as follows. Between the Shechita of the two Simanim, you cleaned off the dam that came out. So Mar Savar Yeshon l'Shechita Mitchil v'atzov v'hai dam Shechita hu. One opinion holds that the process of Shechita goes from beginning to end, and even the Shechita, the second simon, is considered part of that same process of Shechita, and therefore the dam that comes out is still dam Shechita. Umar Savar Einul Shechita l'sof v'hai dam makahu. And the other one says, no, Shechita is really only at the end. Shechita only happens at the end. So the blood that originally came out that we're relying on to be Machshir is dam makah. Maka isn't machshir. So that's what they're arguing about, whether it became huchshir b'shchita, meaning it's a machlokas in, it's not really a machlokas. Everyone agrees. It's a machlokas. It's a major ukimta to make in the Mishnah. The ukimta that you're making is that they cleaned off the dam between the two simanim, and then you have a machlokas in halacha, whether yeshon l'shchita mitchil v'atzof or yeshon l'shchita ella libasof. If you look at Rashi in the first medium-sized line, b'niskana chadam, udukuli alma, we must be assuming that ein yad l'ha that there's no yad lehechsher, there is yad l'tumah. What's this cleaning off the dam? What happened is, when you made the first incision in the animal, blood started squirting out. Some of that blood landed on one of the animal's evarim, on the aver that was meduldal, that was hanging loosely. So you quickly wiped it right off. You wiped that dam right off. So if you hold it's dam maka, then it's not machshir. But if you hold that it's dam shchita, then it is machshir. Now the sixth and final explanation of what the machlokes from Rabbi Shimon is, Rav Ashi Amar, b'shchita machsheres v'lo dam kamiflugi. The machlokes is, can shchita be machshir to be makabel tumah without dam? So Rashi explains exactly what Rav Ashi is talking about, but there are a lot of girsa issues in this Rashi. You got to keep referring to the shchita mukbetzas. So Rashi in the fourth medium sized line, Rav Ashi Amar, dekule alma ein yad lehechsher. That's what it changes to in the side in the Shittim Gbetzes. Everyone would hold, there's no yad lehechsher. Inami, yesh yad lehechsher, hay ever les le yad, de ein behema, nasis yad le'ever. Or even if you hold, there is a yad lehechsher, this ever, a meduldul, doesn't have a yad, because the behema doesn't become a yad for an ever. Inami sfir lehu, ochiz bekatan vein gadol ola imo, eino kamohu, ukashenita, that if you're ochiz bekatan and the and it doesn't schlep along the larger part with it, so then it's eino kamo, would not be considered part of the same item, and therefore the tumah does not automatically transfer. Ukshenitas adam ala ever velonis kanech ukshenitas adam ala ever velonis kanech kamifulgi. That's what they're arguing about. Rameir savar dam machshir vare huchshar. Rameir holds the dam is machshir and therefore it became huchshar. Rabbi Shimon l'tameh dam perksheni shchita machsheres velo dam. And Rabbi Shimon holds, no, it's the shchita that's machshir, it's not the dam. V'hai ever, kivin d'lo mahani le'shchita la'atiru ba'achila. So this ever didn't have a shchita, because the shchita that he did on the animal didn't work for the ever. Afagav de mahani le'tahore midei nevela, even though the shchita did work to be mitar midei nevela, lo machshir le'lutuma. It's still not going to be machshir to be makabal tuma. Because why? The time of the shchita machsheres, ha'ini mishum de kivin de meshavi le'uchla, linin heter achila, meshavi le'nami uchla, linin tuma. The reason Shechita's Machshir is because since Shechita makes the animal into a food in regards to Heter Achila, that you're going to be allowed to eat it, it also makes it into a food in regards to the idea of Tumah. And over here you can't say that. Very interesting how Rashi describes that halacha. Why would Shechita be Machshir? Because if Shechita is a Gemar Ochel, it makes something into a food in regards to Heter Achila, then Shechita has to make something into a food in regards to Kabbalah's Tumah. Who says that hechsher has anything to do with making something into a food? So this is also perhaps a nafkamina in that machlokas we discussed before about what the nature of hechsher is. Is the nature of hechsher the completion of the food, or is the nature of hechsher the beginning of the tumah? Rashi is assuming that if you hold that shchita machsheres would mean that the nature of hechsher is the completion of the food, and that's the very svara why shchita is machshir, because that's the completion. Shchita is the completion of the food on all levels. But if you hold that the nature of the hechsher is the tchilas tumah, well then there's no svara whatsoever to say that shchita should be machshir. Then you would hold dam could be machshir, shchita cannot be machshir. Okay, but that's sugya number one in today's daf. Six explanations of the machlokas of Meir Rabbi Shimon in our Mishnah. Now we move on to the next sugya. The next sugya is also broken down very easily. The next sugya has five shailas based on statements that were made that all result in teku. All five shailas are about yad. So five shailas in relation to yad, all of which will end in teku. That's sugya number two on the daf. So shaila number one. By Rabba, behema b'chaya mashtasi yad le'ever. Can a live animal be considered a yad for an aver that's dangling from the animal or that's attached to the animal? So do we say that since balei chayim are not mekabel tuma, so it can't be a yad either? Or do we say since granted the balei chayim itself is tahar, but it could still become a yad, just like we say in other situations where things we'll see soon where things that are tahar can be a yad? So can a behema, a live animal, be a yad for a single aver? There, teku. We're not sure if it can serve as yad, if it can serve as a conduit for the tumah to go to and from that aver. If you look at Tosos, behem b'chayah mashtas yad aver tema. Ma'imi b'ayle imishum behem b'chayah lav baskabuli tumahi. Why we want to say, like Rashi says, that the whole reason that it shouldn't be yad is because a live animal is not makabul tumah. A live animal can never be tumah. So kol yadah shabeholam nami lo makabul tumah. What makes something a yad as opposed to the actual item itself? A yad is not makabul tumah. That's the whole point. The yad itself is not makabel tumah. The fruit's makabel tumah. The yad isn't makabel tumah. So how can you say something is precluded from the parsha of yad? It can't possibly be a yad because it's not makabel tumah. What do you mean? That's the definition of yad, is things that are not makabel tumah. The yad serves as a conduit for tumah, but it's not makabel tumah itself. Ever. So why should a live animal be different? Says Tosfos Yeshlomar Telodami Lishar Yados Demaidlo Mekabli Tuma Mishum She'in An Ochel Aval Balei Chayim Kinami Havi Ochel Kegon Ben Pakua Ikel Madiyam Perik Beim Amakshe Delo Mekabli Tuma. Now most Yados are not Mekabli Tuma because they're not food, they're not edible, they're not something that you could ever eat. That's why they're not Mekabli Tuma. But over here by a Bal Chai, even if it is an Ochel, like by a Ben Pakua, it doesn't require Shechita, so it's already an Ochel as a Bal Chai, still it's not mekabel tumah. So you see that it's not because of a chisar and shem ochel, it's because it's less connected to tumah. So something that has less of a shaychus with the world of tumah cannot serve as a yad for tumah. But something that has plenty of shaychus with the world of tumah, it's just that I'm sorry, the other way around. So this, you could say this far in several ways. Something that is not an ochel at all, so never enters the parsha, is going to be able to serve as a yad. But something that is an ochel and nevertheless is not mekabel tumah shows you that it's mufka from tumah in a certain sense. And if it's not just that tumah is not shy, that it doesn't have tumah, but it's mufka from tumah, that even though it's an ochel, it's still not makabel tumah, well then it's not going to be able to transfer tumah either. It's not going to be able to serve as a conduit for tumah either. That's the way I would be mazbir that tosfos. Okay, second question that's going to lead to a teku. Amar Abai. First Abai makes a statement. Hare Amru. Let's say you plant something in a pot, and when something is planted in a pot, it's considered talish. It's not considered mechubel karka. It's considered detached from the ground, and therefore it could become tameh. And then it grows, and viyatzis chutz la'atzitz, and it branches out where it goes out over the walls of the pot, of the pot that you planted it in. So tahora. Now the part that's growing out over the walls of the pot are being yonek from the ground right underneath it. So now it's considered mechubel karka, and it's going to be tahar. Amr Rabbi Shimon, v'chimativa l'tahir. So Rabbi Shimon says, why should it be mitar the whole plant? Ela hatame b'tumaso v'tar b'tar raso. How about the part of the plant that's still in the pot will be tame, because that's considered to be talush, and the part of the plant that's outside of the pot that's being yonik from the karka, that will be considered mechubar. Why would you say that it's that the whole thing becomes tar? So Abai raised a question. Maush tasi yad l'chavita. Good. You want to say that it's not tame? Can it become a yad for the part that can become tame? Meaning, l'fi Rabbi Shimon, that it's, you're going to split it up. That part is going to be tame. Part's not going to be tame. So can it at least become a yad? So the part that's out of the pot cannot become tame. Can it become a yad for the part that's inside the pot that can become tame? Take who the Gemara leaves it as an unresolved question. Tulsa says, wait a second. The first shita, not Rabbi Shimon shita, the Tanakama shita was that the entire thing becomes tahar because part of it is being yonate from the karka, meaning where it's branched out, some of those branches are hovering above karka, and it's considered to be yonik from the karka on that level. Frak tells us, wait a second, there is a Gemara Maseches Gittin, that if you have a tree in Eretz Yisrael, whose branches go out and cover over parts of Chutz La'aretz. It's right on the border of the tree, right? So the branches go out over Chutz La'aretz. So the Gemara says in Gittin, Basar Ikaro Azlinan, that what is the status of the fruits of those trees for anything, for any halacha, for Chumas and Maestros, things like that. So what's the status? Basar Ikaro Azlinan. We look at where the tree is based, where the root of the tree is, because that's where it's being yonek. So why over here are we saying the exact opposite? Right? Tanakama says, yeah, it's rooted in the pot. Now the pot itself would mean that it's talush and that it's and that it's therefore tame, but some of the branches go out over the sides of the pot, so that transforms the whole thing to be basar nofo aslinan. To follow the branches, it's directly against that Gemara Maseches Gittin. So says Tosos, it's not against the Gemara because Tosos writes basar hasa meruba yinikasa b'makom ha'ikar avlikaru ba'atzitz ein yinikasa shrasha meruba veina nofos yonkos mina atzitz. When there's a tree that's actually attached to the ground, we assume that the lion's share of the yanika comes from the ground. When you have a plant in a pot, the pot is limited in terms of how much yanika, how much nourishment it can give that plant, because you only have that little bit of soil that you put into the pot. So whenever it has an opportunity to get yanika from the whole wide world out there, that yanika is going to overpower the little yanika it gets from inside the pot. But when you have a tree that's rooted in the ground, so clearly the ikar is going to be where it gets the large majority of its yanika from. Fine. Now question number three that will result in teku. Amar Rabbi Yirmiya. Rabbi Yirmiya states as follows: Hari Amru Hamishtachav Lechati Dalaas Asra. If a person bows down Avodah Zarah to half of a dalaas, I assume means a dalaas tree, but a half of a dalaas, he has asered it ba'anah, because it now has the status of Avodah Zarah. Now if you look at the bottom Rashi, important Rashi, Hamishtach v'lechasi dalaas asra ba'anah mishum Avodah Zarah l'Rabbi Shimon isurei anah ein metamei tumas ochlin. Rabbi Shimon holds that isurei anah cannot be metamei tumas ochlin. Part of the requirement to be metamei tumas ochlin is even if you can't eat it, it at least has to be something that you could feed to somebody else. But if it's asur ba'anah, you're not even allowed to feed it to somebody else. So it's not going to be metamei tumas ochlin. V'adala'as yisurei anah, and this dala'as is going to be asur ba'anah, v'sulam metamei tumas ochlin. Unihidu tumi yotzalam egufa. So frak Rashi, wait a second. It's not metamei tumas ochlin, but avodah zara itself is tamei. Avodah zara by definition is tamei. Avodah zara metamei kisharet. Shemar shaketz tishaksenu. Rabbi Kiva. We find Avodah Zarah is mitame. It's mitame like a sheretz, it's mitame like a nida. Avodah Zarah itself is mitame. We need a hakut to mesochlin. So he says, "Miu ahi tuma drabbanani." I'm reading Parak Rabbi Kiva across Machta Bialmahu. Very important. That tuma of Avodah Zarah is not real tuma d'oraisa. That's a tuma mitrabbanan. We use psukim as an asmachta to teach that din. But the tumas ochlin element would be daraisa if it were subject to tumas ochlin. So therefore, according to Rabbi Shimon, once it has a shame of al dazar and sasra ba'na'a, it's not going to be metamei tumas ochlin. Good. So he's asrid, therefore it's no longer subject to tumas ochlin. By Rabbi Yirmiya, Rabbi Yirmiya says, okay, fine, it's not metamei tumas ochlin, maush tasi yad l'chavrita. Can it be a yad for the other half? Meaning he was only mishtachve l'chatzi. Rashi actually has two ways of understanding this question of the Gemara. First is linian tumid raisa the kabel tumah min hasheretz kedei lavia lechavrita lios chavrita rishona kilu nagatzum b'tumah. The way I just explained it, that you have two halves of the tree. Half of it is avod zara and asur bana, therefore not an ochel, and the other half is an ochel. So what if a sheretz touches the half that's not an ochel? Does that serve as a yad, as a conduit to bring the tumah to the other half that does have a status of an ochel, that's not avod zara and does have a status of an ochel? Granted, the avod zara itself is not going to be matami tumas ochlin, but will it at least be a yad? That's the first way Rashi understands kasha. Lishna Achrina Rashi says linyan tumas avod zara kami bayalei. Now we're asking not about tumas ochlin now. Now we're asking about tumas avod zara. Tzushin as avod zara harei kisheretz v'chetzi hasheni mi havelo yad vanogeh ba kunogeh ba avod zara. What if you touch the other part, the part that's not avod zara? Do you now become tame? Because you know the avod zara itself counts like a sheretz. So is this like a yad for the sheretz? Is the other half considered a yad for the sheretz, where if you touch it, you're going to become tamei? Or maybe no, maybe it doesn't have a din of a yad, and a Torah that touches it, and it's not hukshal the kabel tuma. We're not of a Torah's ochel to be mekabel tuma mechaverta. Wouldn't be mekabel tuma from the other part. So teku, Gemara leaves that as a teku as well. Fourth question: Amrav Papa, Hare Amru Yichor Shel Teinah Shenifshach Umuura Biklipasa. Let's say you have a branch of a fig tree that is dried up. And it's and Rabbi Yehuda Matar v'cham momrim im yachol lichios tar v'im lav tamei, and still somewhat connected though. So Rabbi Yehuda holds that it's tahar, that it's still considered mechubar, and therefore it's tahar. The Chum say no, you have to look at it. If it's able to live still to gain nourishment from the tree, then it's going to be tahar. It's going to be considered mechubar. But v'im lav tamei, if not, if it's then it's considered like it's talush. It's considered that it's detached and it's tamei. So what's the shaila by Rav Papa? Maushi yasi yad l'chavero. Let's say you hold that as Rashi says, maushi yasi yad l'chavero nifshach miyichur zeh yichur acher. Let's say off of this branch, there's another branch that's also mu'ura bo b'klipas. So it's also dangling a little bit on the other branch. Ve'inu yachol lichios, and it's unable to live from it. Vavei talush, and that one is considered talush. Varishon yachol lichios, but the first one could live still from the tree. Maushi yasu zeshi yachol lichios. Ve'inu mekabel tuma. Base yad lizeh atalush umevi lo tuma. What about can the part that's able to live and is not mekabel tuma serve as a yad for the part that's not able to live from its connection to the tree and bring tuma to it? Serve as a conduit to bring tuma to it. Rashi is assuming it must be that the case is that there are two layers of branches that are partially detached from the tree. One of them is a little more attached. One of them is a little more detached. Fine. So take Gemara leaves out of the take as well. And the fifth and final question: Amar Bizera Hare Amru Evan Shabizavis. When you have a stone in a corner of your house that had saras and you need to scrape away the stones. So when you cholitz, you cholitz the entire stone. When you notate, when you smash it, so you notate a shalom aniach shel chaveru. If that stone, let's say, is the stone that connects two houses, it serves as an adjacent wall between two houses, so you don't want to just remove the whole stone, you only have to be notate a shalom, you can leave your friend's side. Okay, good. So now you have, again, anytime you have half of something that's tamei and half of it is tahar, so then you're always going to ask the question, does it become a yad? Granted it's tahar, can it be a yad? So Gemara says teku. So Gemara leaves that as a teku as well. Fine, that was sugya number two. Sugya number three. Mesa habehema. The Mishnah had said that if the animal dies on its own, the animal that has this dangling limb dies on its own, the basar of the limb requires hechsher, and the aver is metame mishum aver menachai, but not mishum aver nevela. The aver, the dangling limb, is now considered aver menachai because it was already dangling while the animal is alive. It's not considered nevela, even though the rest of the animal is nevela because the animal has since dropped dead. So the rest of the animal is nevela, but that aver is aver menachai. So Gemara is going to ask just general rules questions over here. Ma'ika bein ever menachai le'ever shel nevela. What's the halachic difference between ever menachai and ever of a nevela? I mean, they're both tamei, right? So what l'mayin afkamina that the Mishnah has to tell me? Oh, it's only mitamei mishum ever menachai. It's not mitamei mishum ever nevela. Who cares? So ika benayu basar aporish menu me'ever behema. Dilu basar aporish me'ever menachai lo mitamei me'ever mena nevela mitamei. What if you have basar that's porish from the ever? You have just flesh. So basar that's porish from ever menachai is not mitamei. Basa that's parish from Evermin and Nevela is mitame. Avram and Achai d'metame mikras. And now the Gemara just asks another very general question. Where do we ever find that there is such a thing as tumah for Avram and Achai? Who says Avram and Achai is ever metame? So I'm Rabbi Domarav, v'chiyamos min ha-behema. Pasuk says v'chiyamos min ha-behema. So from the behema, meaning something that fell off of the behema, so you see that it's that there's tumah. I frankly Marvayle Liki Idach to Rav Yehuda Marav. We already need that pasuk to teach us different than Rabbi Domarav. Dom Rabbi Domarav Armi the Messi Satana v'chiyamos min ha-behema mixas behema metama umixas behema ena metama. Part of behema is metama. Some behemas are tame, some are not. Ve'ezuzu treifa sheshachta, and which one is not metame? That's talking about a treifa that's been shechted. It does not have a status of nevela. So we already used that pasuk to teach me that even though an animal is dead, it can still be considered something that's not metame. So it says Gemara, yeah, you're right. We use the pasuk to teach us about a treifa sheshachta. But imkein lichtav rachmana mi behema, my min habe. Why do you have to make it a total separate word? Shramina tarti. So that's why you're able to learn both dinim. So we learn that there is such a concept of tumah for Avram and Achai as well. So frankly, Mari Hachia filu basunami. But if that's the source, v'chiyamos mina behema is the source for tumah of Avram and Achai, so basur min Achai should also be tameh. There should be a tumah on the basur as well. So lo salkadai to Gemara says, no, that can't be. The tiny, because Avram Brisa explains why not. Yachli, a basur aparish min Achai tameh. One might have thought that basur that comes off of a live animal is tameh. Tamalomar v'chiyamos mina behema. Ma misa sheinosa chalipin, av kol sheinosa chalipin, div Rabbi Yossi. We see from the fact that we learn from yamos that just like misa is something that doesn't regenerate itself, when something's dead, it's dead, so too only something that does not regenerate itself is considered to be tame when it comes off of a live animal. But basar does regenerate itself. Flesh does regenerate itself. Rabbi Kiva has a different limud. Behema, that we compare it to behema. Ma behema gidim vatsamos, av kol gidim vatsamos. Just like a behema has gidim vatsamos, so too only things that have gidim vatsamos, like an aver, can be tameh. But a basar doesn't have gidim vatsamos, just basar is not metameh. Rabbi Yomer, behema ma behema, basar gidim vatsamos, av kol basar gidim vatsamos. No, in order for an aver min achai to be metameh, it needs not just gidim vatsamos, it needs basar gidim vatsamos. And basar obviously only has basar, doesn't have basar gidim vatsamos. So mayikabin Rebbe the Rebbe Akiva. What's the difference between Rebbe's approach and Rebbe Akiva's approach? Meaning the last two, whether you require gidim vatsamos or even basar gidim vatsamos in order for it to be tame. So you could be nayu arkuva. The difference is the arkuva near the head of the animal, where it has, I guess, gidim vatsamos, but not basar. Ben Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yossi Aglili Ma'ik Ben Ayu. And what's the difference between Rabbi Akiva, Shitos 1 and 2, Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yossi, where Rabbi Yossi had said that it has to be something that doesn't regenerate, and Rabbi Akiva said it has to be something that has Gidim Vatsamos. So what would be enough Gamina? Amra Papa Kulya V'Nivs V'Sayim Ika Ben Ayu. The kidney and the Nivs V'Sayim, I guess the lips, are enough Gamina between them. Why? Because both of those things, as Rashi points out, they Ein Osim Chalipin Ve'Ein Ben Etz. They don't regenerate themselves, but they also don't have any bones in them. Tanya Nami Gabi Shratzim Kei Agavna. We have the same exact limud in regards to Shratzim. Yachol Basar Parish Menah Shratzim Yei Tamei. I might have thought Basar that comes from a Sharet should be Tamei Tam Lomar. B'mosa Mami Sashen Os Chalib Nav Kol Shen Os Chalib Nav Rabbi Yosef Glili. Rabbi Kiva Amar Sharet Masharet Gidim Vatzamos Av Kol Gidim Vatzamos. Rabbi Amar Sharet Masharet Basar Gidim Vatzamos Av Kol Basar Gidim Vatzamos. Same three shitos. Ben Rabbi the Rabbi Kiva Yikubinayu Arkuva. Ben Rabbi Kiva Rabbi Yosef Glili Ma Yikubinayu Amar Papu Kol Yiv Nivso Sayim Yikubinayu. Same two nafkaminas. So why do I need the same discussion both by Sharet and by the Behema, utzricha diyesh min behema hainu tamid lo metame mechayim, mishum lo metame bekadasha. I might say behema is not metame mechayim because it's not metame bekadasha. You need a larger shear. Avol sharetz the metame bekadasha im lo metame mechayim, but a sharetz could be metame bekadasha, maybe could even be metame mechayim. Viyesh min sharetz mishum lo metame memasa lo metame mechayim. And if it only would have told me sharetz, I would have said, yeah, sharetz can't be metame memasa, that's why it's not metame mechayim. Al behema the metame memasa im metame mechayim, but I would have thought a behema is different because it can be metame memasa. To misnevel is metame memasa. That's why I need both discussions.